Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Rondris.
Good evening. Welcome to Paranormal Investigator Radio. This is Nicole.
Kevin.
Rich.
Rondris.
And Steve Driss. How's everybody doing this evening?
Fabulous.
Yeah, we're doing
awesome.
Great.
Awesome, very good.
Doing fabulous.
And welcome to another episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio.
Well, welcome, Steve.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you. Oh, welcome back, Rich.
Yeah, I don't do this very often, so this is, I do like one show a month, maybe. But there's only two shows a month.
I think
50% of the time I'm here, 50% of the time I'm not.
Well, wasn't it last week we had the weather issue here?
Yeah, the weather was pretty crappy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing near what D.C. and Boston and New York City got. You know, kudos to the people who work in upstate New York for the snow removal, because there's people in Washington, D.C. that are still stranded in developments. No one's plowed. Mm-hmm. Side streets, no one's plowed. Here in upstate New York, we take for granted that all our streets get plowed pretty well. These guys are like, they'll go 48, 72 hours if they have to. And they do a great job clearing things out. Maybe places like D.C. and stuff like that need to take a lesson from us. I don't know. And, by the way, Syracuse Airport has won some awards, I heard.
Yeah.
Grapevine for their snow removal of the runways and everything. Because, like, Ronald Reagan Airport, JFK, and LaGuardia had a lot of flights canceled and shut down because they couldn't keep up with the snow removal on the airstrip. And Syracuse does an amazing job, because I'll tell you, when I've flown in and out of Syracuse, there's some really bad weather, and those runways are clear, and they're going down there three plows deep cleaning those things off. So, but that's neither near nor there. We're here to talk about the paranormal.
I'm not sure if we're allowed to say that, but Syracuse is actually an active Air Force strip too, so that might be why that's constantly clear. The National Guard's there with the drones and the fighter planes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Awesome. Then. Well, then every port
needs some
National
Field
Guards there if they can need some snowplows and keep the freaking runways clear.
I did not know that.
And you know, we had Griffiths in Rome. That's why we can't clear streets now. But that's...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is true. So what are we chalking about? Chalking. I'm inventing words tonight as I go along.
It's just
Rondris.
Chalking.
Chalking is like when you're writing something on chalk and talking at the same time.
Chalking, yes, I like
chalking
that.
Chalking could be when you're drawing the outline of a dead person as laying their guts are laying out on the street. You're a forensic investigator. So
don't chalking. Bother me, I'm chalk talking right now.
So the way I keep going, we need to start a RIP dictionary. And start putting words in there. Wikipedia. There I go.
There
I just can't stop.
There's another one.
Wikipedia.
You are on a roll.
Cannot stop.
Can we add Cherry Cly to that?
Yes. Number one.
Oh, yeah. So it's been relatively quiet for us on the front of the paranormal lately, as it usually is around the holidays. People don't want us going through their homes when they have all their Christmas decorations up and stuff like that. We get it. But now that the season tidings have come to an end, even though I'm still saying Happy New Year to people when I talk to them for the first time, so I'm not exactly sure when that's supposed to end, but I want to carry it out to like January 31st.
That's probably so, safe to say.
If that. I've never talked to you or I haven't talked to you in 2016, right up to January 31st, you get a Happy New Year. After that, it's just, hey, what's up? So, yeah, we have a lot of things brewing, and we've had several meetings, and we're moving forward with some pretty big investigations for us. And we're going back to the Hulbert House, which we're excited about. It's been a while since we've been there. I mean, it's a good way for... The senior members of the group and the associate members that we've brought on board to kind of collaborate and work together. We can learn some stuff from them, and they can share some stuff with us. I'm really interested in seeing what Kevin can do, because Kevin had his own group there for a while, so he's a seasoned paranormal investigator. So I'm interested to hang out with him and see what kind of things that he does.
I'm interested to get out there and show you what I can do and see what I can bring to the group.
I'm always about learning something, you know what I mean? Once you decide you're going to stop learning, it's pretty much when you die. So,
I'll be in that one room with the Annabelle dolls.
Dolls are creepy.
So, for Christmas, I gave my uncle, who was like 82, I gave him and my father both copies, which I bought off of Pete, of the Armchair Paranormal, the Hulbert House, which is a great book. I gave it to him, and I asked them to read it, and they read it. And they're asking me all the questions the other night. I came over to watch football, and it was like, well, what about this? What's a spirit box? What about that? What about the dolls? Did that door really slam on you? So they were all intrigued about the whole thing. So I knew they read the whole thing. And they were interested in the whole Civil War history perspective of the home and everything. So it was pretty kind of cool to talk to them about it, because they were just kind of like ghosts. Yeah, whatever. You know, they're like old school. You know what I mean? But even at their age, they still don't believe that there's such a thing as ghosts. Though my father will tell you, he goes, well, not everyone's crazy out there that has reports of UFOs and ghosts and Bigfoot. There are a lot of crazy ones, but you know, some people are doctors and lawyers and cops and all that kind of stuff. So I guess it does bring some validity to sightings of, you know, Bigfoot, my favorite primate, if it is in fact a primate. I almost invented another world. I was very, very careful.
Close.
A crypt. Remember that? I invented that one years ago. Like a crypt is, I couldn't roll it off my tongue, so I was like, crypt. So they all laughed at me, but who's laughing now? So.
Well, the inventor of Hangry is a popular person, though. That point where you get overly hungry and you get angry?
Hangry, that's my wife. She gets like that.
I get like that.
So I did have a question coming.
Yeah. You want want a microphone here?
No.
I can swing you around here.
Go. I'm gonna put this all on you guys's and Gail's.
Oh, you got one.
So I got contacted by this person. I haven't answered him back yet.
Is it Rondra?
She's beginning her senior year in college.
Sweet.
And she would like to pursue... Yeah, now you got me talking like, cherry pop! Cherry pop! You got me talking like that. She would like to pursue... She wants to get a job in the paranormal industry.
Don't we all?
What can she do to make money? To which I wanted to answer back, well, don't get involved in the paranormal. But...
There's some ways to do it.
But I thought that actually an interesting question. Here's somebody who maybe wants to help people from a perspective. I don't know. What do you all think about that? I mean, other than getting on television, you're not going to really make money.
I think sign me up.
Well, let's go around. What do you think, Kevin? Any suggestions come to your mind?
You know, I've thought about it. You know, when I first started college, I really wanted to, you know, get into parapsychology. And the more I looked into it, the only real colleges I could find were actually in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, for me, it almost shut me down with that. I mean, with all the paranormal investigating I've done in my time, my dad has actually come to me and said, you know, is there a way that you can make money doing it? And I haven't figured out that answer yet. So.
I think, well, I'll bring this up, only because I remember this from Dave and Pete bringing this up. When you guys went to Gettysburg, there is a group out there that does make money doing this. But they don't do just investigations. They do the tours, and they have a shop. So I guess there is a way to make money, but it's not quite investigating all the time. You have to branch out into different aspects of the field and do money-making things, I guess.
I've been doing this for, what, 7-8 years, and I still have... I haven't found a way to make any money. I spend more money than I make. But, you know, it's really not, as far as I'm concerned, it's really not, other than being on a TV show, having your own TV show, it's really not about making money, as far as I'm concerned. It's about helping people. You know, I said this before, and I'll continue to say it, you know, until I get my own TV show. But it is. It's about helping people. And, you know, I just wouldn't feel right about going into a home and say that'll be $1,400 to do an investigation, or however much, $500, or I just wouldn't feel right about doing that.
Oh, my
turn. Oh, you want me to go?
No, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Nicole is basically telling us the entertainment portion.
Yes.
Where the money is. Mm-hmm. Kevin and Steve are along the metaphysical aspect, for personal growth or to help people. So I guess that's where you need to draw the distinction. And Rich and I were talking about actually something I think was comedians like a week or so ago. Do you want to do this as a hobby, or do you want to do this as your job? What are you willing to dedicate to do this? You can make money at anything, I guess. I mean, I hate to say there's a sucker born every minute, but if this is your goal that you want to make money on, you can, like the Gettysburg tours. They must be making millions of dollars in all reality. If you go down there, that stuff is everywhere. Yeah. And they're running 7 nights a week. Incredible. So you figure the staff they're running and paying, that's, and it was $40 a person, I believe. What was the college in New Jersey? They were the only one that had parapsychology up. Was it Duke? Duke University, I think, had parapsychology up to the 70s. Was it North Carolina?
Duke, yeah, Duke University.
Or was it Rutgers?
No, it was Duke. It was Duke, Duke University had the
Actual degree.
Yeah, an actual degree. Actually, back in the 70s, there was a TV show that, the guy was actually, the character of the show, Gary Collins, played. It was called The Sixth Sense. I don't know if any of you remember that show. And I was a kid when it, but it was actually, he was a professor out of Duke University. So I believe it was Duke University that offered that.
I'll let Rich weigh in, but, and then we could go back around the room with this quick one, but I always have that mixed bag with psychics because they're making a lot of money. And I don't discourage them or have any feelings, whatever they're doing. But you know that I've argued that before, maybe not on the show, but I see psychics actually as like a valid form of therapy. Some people go to counselors. Some people need to go to a psychic. It's the same type of that they need to sit and just talk with someone. You know, if you're a little bit weird or strange, you feel comfortable talking to somebody else who's weird or strange. And if they're helping you get through what you need to get through, that's more what I would encourage the girl to look into, or the lady, excuse me. If you're looking to help people, then maybe that's an aspect to go in. But when you're charging $99.99 a minute for winning lottery numbers, Rich?
That was sudden.
Yeah.
I think the best way to go into the paranormal, if you want to make a career out of it and make a living versus making money, what some people's idea of what living is and what some people's idea of money is different, but essentially you need to go in for a different reason. You need to go in the paranormal to be a paranormal investigator, to study the paranormal and to help people. Let's take a case here, John Zaffis. John Zaffis actually works in like mechanical engineering. And he also got into it because he was the nephew of Ed Warren. So they did this kind of on the side. I believe the Warrens did at one time, but were charging to do investigations because it was such a taxing thing for them. They would go, I mean, remember any of the things you saw about on TV? They go in for like, you know, like days or a week at a time. It's kind of impossible for anyone to pay their bills and make a living if you're not going to work. So essentially, if you go in it for those specific reasons and then become well known at it, like Chris Fleming is another case example. Chris has a online store where he sells paranormal equipment. He also gets involved in beta testing this equipment in the field, and also gets involved in creating new equipment. So he hypothetically is making a living on the paranormal, and also since he's have a certain level of paracelebrityness to him, is that another word I just created? Paracelebrityness. Mm-hmm. Yep. He gets paid for appearances and stuff, but these people, John and Chris, both cases, you know, that I discussed, have been in this for a long time. In order to become known to that level, you can't expect to go in for a couple years and like, okay, now I'm going to be like a paranormal superstar, TV personality, millions. Now, Zach Bagans, on the other hand, he didn't kind of go into the paranormal. He went in to make a film because he was a production guy. And they came out with Ghost Adventures, which, you know, obviously, the population loved it because they, you know, Sci-Fi bought it. Sci-Fi ordered, I think it was Sci-Fi that actually aired it.
Travel Channel.
It's on Travel Channel, but I think it was Sci-Fi.
It was Sci-Fi originally. I think it went to Travel.
That aired the actual pilot. Mm-hmm. I was impressed with it because of the video quality and the production that these guys put into it. And then the paranormal became, you know, they're like, well, let's do it on the paranormal. So they take an interesting perspective on it. So again, I mean, you have to have something that catches somebody that's like different or unique in order for you to move on and go the TV route. Because God knows, we've tried that. And the paranormal TV stuff has been done so many times. And I think the general population of TV viewers are kind of like looking for a change. They're starting to watch like Oak Island and, you know, the Long Island Medium and the shows on Alaska, living, you know. That kind of stuff is in the paranormal starting to take a backseat to all that other kind of reality TV show until another cool original idea comes out. Like Travel Ghost Adventures is established, They do a great job of, you know, continuing that. Ghost Hunters has been going on for 10 seasons. They've made some changes in it too as well. So to answer the question, so I can end this because I seem like I'm keep talking about this, is essentially just going to be an investigator, learn the craft, and then basically as you get into it, you'll pick up something that you find unique and that you're good at, and then you may be able to turn that into some money-making opportunity down the pipeline. Like the Constantinos, who unfortunately are deceased, they were known as the EVP experts. They did a lot of EVP stuff. They went around to different conventions and TV appearances just focusing on EVPs. So that was kind of their gift, their skill. So that's my long answer.
So basically, 100,000 paranormal enthusiasts and 50 paracelebrities.
Yeah. Or probably even more than 100,000. There's a lot of groups that pop up. But essentially, the people in the paranormal community get respected most. The people have been doing it for the longest period of time. You have to put in a lot. You have to do it when it's not cool. There's a lot of people jump into it when it's cool. There's a big rage. Because I remember when I first did Lilydale and I brought Jason and Brandon. They were like, all these people walk around with matching T-shirts. I'm a paranormal investigator. And they had, you know, like, pens in their little pocket thing and, you know, utility belts, and it was just like, wow, where did all these, I mean, just groups all over the place. Then as years went by, I went back again, there was like less paranormal groups, it was just people watched the TV show. So I think that original like rush of all these paranormal groups is really dampened down. At least we know in our area, there's a lot of them that were here, and now they're not here anymore. Yeah, because it takes a lot of time and effort to maintain one of these and make it work.
Yeah, I myself saw this all firsthand. I mean, that's what happened with my group. We started out right around that same time period. And, you know, I had a group of 13 members.
Wow, good.
Over the years, it just dwindled down to, you know, just myself and, you know, my girlfriend at the time, now my fiance, she joined in with me. And it was just us. And that's just how it works. You know, they lose the buck of the paranormal. Mm-hmm. And it really shows what do you want to be there for? And as you're saying, you want to be there for the people. There's nothing better than going into a house where somebody's freaking out because they think that they have something in their house. And the way you just carry yourself and talk to them in a calm manner will actually make them feel a little bit better. And mm-hmm. that's what I like about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole psychic thing that Pete mentioned, I mean, there's a lot of people that make money in that. And Pete has a great point. It's counseling. I had a friend of mine that went to a marriage counselor because they were problems with their marriage. And I said, you know, he went and I asked him after, like, so many sessions, what did the marriage counselor do for you? He said, nothing. We sat down and she asked us to talk about our problems. Okay, was there did they prescribe some kind of, you know, anything? Nope. Just, you know, talk it over. So essentially, how is that really any different than a psychic giving readings? The psychic's listening to you, talking to you, saying that I see good things coming, giving you positive reinforcement, you know? Like a marriage counselor saying, oh, we need to work this out. And you're paying a lot of money for a marriage counselor, even the point where insurance companies are kicking in, too. So it comes to the point where it's like, it's a form of therapy, I think, for some people. And some people feel it. It makes them feel good. So how can you put a price tag on that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, it's... And then I'm sure there's some that are really good and really... on top of what they do, like this Hollywood medium, do you see this guy?
Oh, yeah.
This young kid? Mm-hmm. Again, I only seen it a few times. So from what I've seen, he seems to be pretty on. He's making people cry and stuff. But again, we don't know what's going on in the background before he goes on TV. Mm-hmm. And then there's some, I'm sure there's some, like there is in every line of work, there's some people that take advantage of people and tell them what they want to hear and do cold readings and all that kind of thing. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
I have a plan. You might be seeing the Kickstarter / GoFundMe campaign about that. But that's the thing. A lot of people
Peter
just... No. I would never take that burden on.
Peter Leonard, psychic.
But just the spiritual counseling. And that's copywritten, by the way. Your spiritual counselist.
Sure.
Peter.
Well,
you
gonna
slip me some money, I'll make sure you get through the gates up
there. Toga robes and...
No. I don't wear kimonos.
A kimonos?
No. But no, that's a very good. Now I got something I can tell her.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's really, I mean, that's why we're all here. I mean, there's a certain, there's the other things that what's cool about a paranormal group that some people may or may not know, There is helping people is one of the main things. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, there's a certain family unit. You get into a group with people, you gel, you have a new set of friends, like a second family, mm-hmm. to hang out and discuss like-minded ideas, and also to argue things. I mean, we don't all agree on everything all the time, but that's fine. That's how it should be. So we have that sort of perspective, you know what I mean, which is kind of interesting. And then essentially we do, you know, like Nicole said, like tours. We set it up where we have some people in our group that are very good with that sort of thing and very knowledgeable with the historical perspective. Then we do tours, so we make money for the group. But everything we do, we make money for the group as a group, so we can fund our future endeavors versus us making money financially to pay our bills individually. So. Mm-hmm.
But again, like Nicole had mentioned, for the first time in our existence, this was the first year we made money, and what was it from? We did historical tours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they worked out really well.
They did. They were great.
Yeah.
They're great.
So I guess, yes, there is money. Well, that's group money. Mm-hmm. But when you think of how much money we've all spent on gas, that after snack and batteries, equipment...
Mm-hmm.
Legal fees, no.
Yeah, I mean, our members put out-of-pocket money to do this stuff. We have a case, it comes in, Nicole has to take time out of her day to consult with these people, ask tons of questions, because I'm sure she's got plenty of other things to do, being an entrepreneur, and she just recently got married, and her husband's an entrepreneur, so I'm sure two entrepreneurs are going to be pretty busy all the time, thinking of the things that they could be doing to enhance their business. So she deals with that, and then, of course, we all have to, like, put in our time to read the emails and do this stuff. Then we got gas to go out there and time away from our families and batteries. That's the one thing that kills me. Because I have a lot of gear, and I tell you, man, it's like every time I do an investigation or consult, it's like $15 in batteries. You know, it's just like, and they just go. And I've even bought those dollar store brand ones because they're so cheap, but they don't last anywhere. I mean, not even half the lifespan to get out of a more expensive battery. But then again, they're so cheap, you just pop them in and throw them out and put a new one in. So, I mean, where's, like, I guess I should do like a study and see where I'm really, I guess, doing better with the cheaper ones or the better
ones. Maybe we should invest in rechargeables.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
A rechargeable
I've tried, but they don't hold up in the long run.
They don't.
No, they end up losing their lifespan as well. So
quickly, because you're using them so much.
Well, they may be a little bit better now than they were a few years ago. Hopefully, there's battery improvements each and every year. But still, it's all out of pocket money for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And gas and tolls. You know, I mean, all that stuff. But we never ask anybody for money. Cover our expenses.
And it's amazing how many people, when we go do the consults, ask us how much we charge. I feel like they've been charged before, you know what
yeah,
I mean? So,
yeah. How many times, now, I used to be the case manager, how many times you had that question opposed to you?
Literally, if I had to pick, eight out of 10 times.
The last time that happened, I was kind of in a joking mood, and I told the lady $500, and I heard nothing but calm on nothing on her end of the phone. I said, ma'am, I says, I'm only teasing you. I says, well, we don't charge anything for our services. She goes, oh my God, I thought you were serious. I says, no, ma'am. I says, I apologize. That was a bad joke. And she goes, no, actually, now it's funny.
There's, I guess, because we've been around a while, we've probably figured things out, maybe, but our main goal is to go out and help people, do investigations with the intent and the purpose of helping somebody. It's very gratifying, helping someone with a paranormal problem. But some groups are like, they're just like a paranormal group that's near us that I'm referring to, not mentioning any names of any sort. Most of my conversations with them have been, we want to go out and find a demon, we want to go find evidence. So it's just like a rush for them to go out, and they don't care if they're investigating a tool shed or whatever, as long as they are getting something that they can say, look what I found. And I was like that at one point too, but now it's kind of like about actually getting evidence that's actually going to mean something for somebody or to somebody. So, I mean, that's kind of like the newer groups are like that. You know what I mean? They're all like, let's put everything in social media. Yeah. We want to show everybody who we are. And we're just like, you know, and that question was posed, and Nicole's looking with a smile on her face. about why don't we post stuff on our Facebook page and social media sites of evidence? Because it's no one else's business. The stuff that we get for our clients is our clients. You know, we post stuff, but we don't feel the need that we have to prove to anybody else by putting it on social media.
And we get a lot of those calls from people that don't want to be known as the place with the haunted house or the people that are crazy, and because, you know, they want to be, they want us to go in, and we were talking about this before the yep. show tonight. They want us to go in. They want us to be quiet about it. They don't want us to post anything. Just come in, investigate their home. So they don't feel like they're going crazy because they're hearing something or seeing something. They want to know if it's real or what it is. So that's why we go in. We keep our mouth shut. We're very quiet about it. We do our investigation. We're in and out. And if there's any evidence, we give them the evidence. That's where we leave it.
Well, to shoot off what you just said, Kevin is starting to tinker with our YouTube page. So hopefully he can do wonders for it. And I think we'll probably end up start putting some stuff on there that's generic where it doesn't, you know, you can't know where it came mm-hmm. from. But again, sometimes when I share stuff with people, I hear it as clear as day. And they're like, I don't hear it. You know, whatever. So how can you put it on there and say without a doubt that it's a ghost? We don't know. We'll just post it as findings. This is what we found. What do you hear? I'm not going to say this is evidence that there's a ghost in the house. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the one that drives me crazy is demons. If I can hear that word demon one more time. Now, when I hear it from people that call in, I understand they don't understand. But I hear it from other paranormal investigators, and I see their post, going to go fight a demon. Now, okay, good luck. You might as well just turn around and dig a grave because you're going to be dead. There's no piece of equipment you buy at the ghost hunter store that's going to protect you from a demon. Okay? So, yeah, whatever. Good luck.
I'm looking at the new village seal of Whitesboro.
Is it a
demon? Did they
Oh my god.
Is this a legit new
Oh my.
If that's legit, if that is legit, I'm buying stuff. I'm buying Whitesboro seals.
We are based in Rome. The studio that we bring the radio show now is based in Whitesboro. And if you're not familiar with Whitesboro, it's been kind of the bone of contention. It's been on Comedy Central. I think it's been on the Daily News.
Fox.
Wasn't that Colbert's late show too?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes, it was.
Been on the late. Is it either late or the late night show? I think he's a late night show.
He took over Dave Letterman's Stephen
Colbert. Yeah, late night show. Mm-hmm. So essentially, it's been a bone of contention because the seal was, it always has been in the town of Whitesboro, is a white settler choking an Indian. Now they say it's supposed to, they're just wrestling, friendly wrestling match. No one really gave it too much consideration. We just looked at it, whatever. Until one guy in our group, Larry, and this other comedian, AJ Foster, did a rendition of their own version of it in front of the seal, where AJ, being African-American, was choking Larry, who was a white guy, next to it and saying, I got your back, my brothers. That got picked up on social media and ended up going all the way up the ladder to the late show in Comedy Central, and now the whole town of Whitesboro is being made fun of across the nation now.
I will say the new seal does look more like a wrestling match.
It looks a lot more friendly. I didn't say that.
So this would be current. Now this is what the Indians are doing to...
Okay. You know, it goes more along with what AJ and Larry did, you know, saying he's got his back, but...
Come
he's
to Whitesboro.
Pete's got the better... Why don't you explain to our listening audience the new symbol, Pete?
It's what I refer to as county prison. Use your imagination. So did anybody see the UFO that's been flying over Rome? There's been various reports.
Mm-mm.
No. Is it a drone?
I don't know.
I have a feeling it might be a drone, because there was actually one night that I thought I was having a hallucination and seeing a UFO myself. I was driving up Route 12 on Deerfield Hill, and flying about 100 feet over Route 12, I saw a strip of lights that was just hovering. And as I'm getting closer to it, I mean, at first I was starting to freak out. I thought, you know, holy crap, there's a plane going to land on Route 12.
It came for you, Kevin.
Yeah. So I kept on going and ended up flying like right over me. Drove around, tried to follow it, and then I saw it kind of take off to the north, tried chasing after it, and I couldn't find it. But it wasn't very long after it is when the Air Force released, the Air Force or Army released that the drone that came from Fort Drum lost that decoy missile. It was just like
I didn't hear about that one.
It was like a fake missile that they put on the bottom of the drone to see if it could actually fly with a real missile. And I guess it fell off somewhere in the northern area.
Yeah, somebody's yard.
They put it on eBay. The news and said, you know, if you find it, please give it back. Don't keep it. But they ended up finding it.
Oh, good.
But
was this Thursday last week by any chance?
Nope.
Okay.
This happened back in the summer, actually, when I saw it.
Driving home from Rome last Thursday. The planes they're flying out of there now, they're getting bigger and bigger. I don't know if they're planes or what they... This thing came over 49, easily maybe 100 foot, the wingspan. And then it's like doing like very close to the ground stuff and then coming up and just doing... And then they're gone.
I know they're gone. Usually about once or twice a month they do the touch and goes as a training scenario.
But these are way where they're not usually...
They're big.
Like, they're arcing out where they shouldn't be. No, I know. Steve and I, a couple of years ago, we were doing the radio show. We were watching one. The triangles were up in the sky.
Really?
Tonight, when I went to go pick you up to come here, as I'm pulling out of my driveway, huge plane. And, I mean, there was stuff on the wings. I don't know. Massive plane.
Because we're like, is that going to land in the canal? And then it's like... And then it's like,
you know, it would actually be cooler if it really was man-made technology. I'd be more impressed.
Oh, I believe it is.
If it is. But regardless if it's an alien or not, it's still a UFO. People are like, no, it's not. Yeah, it's an unidentified flying object, which could be a drone or an airplane. Could be Superman. It's still a UFO.
You might get visitors from our new planet they just found.
Yeah, could be. Did you see something on the news about they found a cell phone design?
I saw that.
Back from the Mesopotamia, I'm going to slaughter this word.
Mesozoic?
Mesozoic or Mesopotamia era or something.
Mesopotamian.
Yes, I was close.
Close.
That was close. Did you see it? And they had a picture of a cell phone and a picture of that next to each other, and it looked like it had buttons. If it's real.
Really?
Yep. Look, it had buttons and everything. Like it was like an actual like primitive. All I can think of is like it looked like one of those Nokia. Remember the old Nokia style?
Yeah.
That's what they compared it to.
Yeah.
See
if you can find that paint. That's.
They're saying it's like something like 5,000 years old. Or
yeah.
They actually did like the testing on it.
So kind of brings more discussion up front about the whole ancient alien things, which is a show I love to watch because some of the stuff is kind of interesting and some of it is like.
I've never seen that, and I see it on Netflix. Of course I got cable now, so I see it on cable all the time, and I never watch it. Is it worth my time?
Well, I mean, it makes you think about a lot of things. So, the building of the pyramids.
Is that it right there?
Yeah, that's it.
Is that a legit article? That's what I mean.
I don't know.
Okay.
Is that on Facebook?
UK.
This is dailymail.com.
Let me see.
I just Googled it.
Again, if it's legit. It
says it's 800 years old.
800, yeah.
Okay, 800 years old. But still, it's old.
I recant my 5,000 years.
We're on 4,200
years. That's a good idea. You're way off.
Tough to tell. You don't know if that's a legit article. Did somebody Photoshop a Nokia phone and make it look old?
Yeah,
Really?
That kind of thing.
I think it's Photoshopped. I really do.
You always got to be skeptical. I mean, you always have to have
that's
that
why
doubt.
You're an investigator.
That's
I don't
right,
know.
Right.
Since the beginning of Facebook, I've become skeptical about a lot of things that you've seen.
Everything on the internet's true.
Well, all the celebrities have died already at least once on Facebook.
How many times have we seen Johnny Knoxville's death posted with his obituary?
Yeah.
Oh, he's gone now, too?
No.
Yeah,
5 times.
Have you seen the Egyptian hieroglyphics, though, with the spaceships, the helicopters, the spacesuits?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I mean, if you watch the show Ancient Aliens, it really makes you think about how some of these advances were made. Like, in the, what happened to these societies? The Aztecs and all these things, they just boomed into this big society and they're gone. And then how did they build some of those things, like the pyramids? What are some of those blocks, like 200 tons? How could they get guys dragging them with ropes?
Right. One block. Yeah, yeah.
Now, where did he get the technology to assemble that, put the final ones all the way up on the top?
Oh, it's just like those geoglyphs. It's the large drawings that span over miles.
Yeah.
You can only see it from above.
Exactly.
I mean, who were they making it for? And you know, how could they know what they were making?
Well, exactly. It just lends more credibility that, you know, we were getting some outside assistance at some point. Then, you know, we had this boom in technology, and then all of a sudden, we went on for like so long and nothing really happened. Nothing.
Yeah.
Then over the last 60 years, another huge boost in technology where we're going to come up with artificial intelligence, everything. And there's a lot of stories, at least I've seen online, about alien technologies being released, and we're starting to use that, and that's why we're getting all these advances. I don't know, again, it's, I don't know. It'd be great if there was a single source that everything they said was absolutely 100% true, and you had to believe it. That would be awesome.
Called GE. I've been told that they're 70 years ahead of what your military technology is today. And they have to space what they let out. And if you think about it, that's how they have to make their money. They have to do it slowly over time, like the microwave. And now you see they have all the induction ovens are starting to come out.
Yeah, no, it's... There's a lot of stuff that, I mean...
Greaseless deep fryers.
Greaseless deep fryers. Yeah, it makes you wonder.
Fracking. Fracking, I mean.
I think that's Tim. He's
on. Maybe.
I'm sorry, we're looking out the front window.
There's a drive-by.
It kind of looks like a Ford.
I'll tell you here in 1 second when it pulls away.
Well, it's not a white guy choking an Indian.
It is... So,
I don't know what it is either, but...
Sorry, folks, we thought we had an intruder. Intruder alert. You're good.
So Nicole mentioned last radio show about the noises. Have you heard any more about that? The mysterious guy noises?
Mm-mm.
I forgot what we called them. We talked about that a long time ago.
It was called a snow...
The earth makes noises that people are hearing in the...
Icequake, right? Wasn't it like
It was something like that.
Mm. Yeah.
Like they think Gabriel's blowing his horn, the end is near, Mercury's in retrograde, the whole nine yards,
Gabriel,
the Patriots do end up winning the Super Bowl, right. You know, the whole thing there. I'm not a fan of football, but...
My Broncos are going to the Super Bowl.
I love Peyton.
Good for them.
Yes.
They're not going to win, but... I can't see them getting by Carolina.
Okay, Steve.
Actually,
thanks for your input.
Actually, I hate the Denver Broncos.
Let's just stick to the paranormal, Steve.
I hate the Denver Broncos, being a San Diego Charger fan. Or should I say, soon be Los Angeles Charger fan?
I was going to say that.
Yeah!
The
day my Chargers move to L.A. is the day I give the, finger to the National Football League. But go ahead. That's
stop wearing that dirty-looking Chargers hat, then.
Oh, never.
So our listeners are going to get the first chance to see what a para-community fight looks like. I'll show you.
Oh, dear.
Never talk about religion, politics, and sports.
Love sports.
Although, if you go to my Facebook page, I just posted the weirdest Catholic video I've ever seen where this priest is just basically assaulting children up at the altar.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah. I'm not really sure what that's about, but I'll watch that later.
Like hitting them?
Like hitting them in the front, the back, then kicking some kid.
Like slapping around. There's one kid trying to duck it and kicks him.
Oh, my God.
I go to mass to watch that.
So, Jonathan Perillo, I did tag you in that. We're thinking about you, buddy.
That's mean.
And get some answers for us, because I don't know what the hell that was.
Oh, my Lord.
I would feel really bad for that priest if one of the kids up there on the altar was mine. So I would rush that priest at the altar.
I don't care if God's watching. Group of parents that were bringing the kids up.
Wow. This is not kind of like that whole thing in Chadwick's, is it?
Oh.
Word of Life Church, whatever it is.
Oh, jeez. I know.
Yeah. That was really a sad outcome.
Yeah.
Does it run away?
Oh, I like that. That's good. I don't know.
I hope you're all surviving the snow. We didn't get any for a change. Ha ha.
Yeah. Well, it's always sketchy to do investigations this time of year because you never know what you're going to go into.
Yeah, we've done a few of those investigations that were sketchy in the middle of the snow on mountains, right, Pete?
Don't ever, Nicole, don't ever book us for anything like that again. Ever. What the hell was the name of that town? De Ruyter?
I think so, yeah.
Wait, what did we? Where was it?
Oh, my God. It was one of these emergency cases where the kid was getting scratched. It was a literal blizzard, and I should have called it. I should have literally just said no. So it took like 3 hours to get to Cazenovia from here, which is maybe a 40-minute drive. That should have been the first
hint. Right?
The first hint. Then we started going into that town. There's like a death drop on the left, which was into a frozen lake. There's like a gully on the other side, which was like 12 feet deep. I couldn't see the road.
Oh my God.
The road was barely, well, big enough for a car and a half maybe,
barely,
and it was like two lanes.
Yeah.
I'm doing like five, and it just kept going uphill. I'm like, we just keep going uphill. When are we ever going to go down? Then we went down.
You know, not for nothing. This sounds like the plot of The Shining here, so.
All in the minivan.
Then we got there, and we pretty much stayed almost till light the next morning because I didn't want to drive back.
Actually, it was a pretty good investigation.
You guys can go home now.
We're not done.
We're crashing here, sorry.
But that one, there was a guy that lived in the barn, World War II veteran, made himself known to the house owner, who was a Vietnam veteran, and I don't remember the name of the guy. It's written down somewhere. He's like, doesn't want anybody bothering him in the garage. He's like, he tolerates me, but... So what, it took him, like, what, 2 hours? He went out there, kept talking to him, like, let me introduce you guys to him. You know, and we're thinking, yeah, okay. How much have you been partying before we got here? But I'll never forget it. We walked into that garage, and you couldn't even move in there. It was, like, cars, snowmobiles. I mean, everything was just jammed. And there was an upstairs. Standing right there, right in between the cars. As soon as you walk in, you look. He's like, he's over there. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm looking at him. You can see the full white apparition of the guy just standing right towards the back of the thing. Later, Mark went back in there with the thermal camera, and he picked him up on thermal up in the balcony. You could actually see the heat signature moving, and we're like, okay, we ain't going in there. We're like, okay, we respect you. Thank you. And it's like, then we stayed in the house the rest of the night. We literally waited for the sun to come up because I wasn't driving home and that was just...
That was crazy that night.
And I don't think the kid was actually being
harassed.
It was just one of those, get out here as soon as you can. We're going to be snowed in and we need entertainment.
But there was something there because I was in the doorway of the bedroom you guys were in and I heard this girl, thought it was my cousin Nicole, singing, humming. And I turned around and I looked and there was nothing there. And come to find out, I got on the walkie-talkie and I said, Nicole, where are you? She goes, I'm the other side of the house. Oh, okay.
But as I recall that, they were across the street from a cemetery and the kid was doing something in the cemetery, right?
Yep.
And they think she brought something back
from the cemetery
into the house.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, there were weird things in that, but the guy in the garage, that's one I'll never... I mean, that was worth almost dying for, but... It's almost up there, ladies and gentlemen, it's almost up there with, like, putting bacon on a Big Mac. I mean, it was just fantastic.
Bacon on a Big Mac.
That does actually sound good.
I call it the Big Peter. It's two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and bacon on a sesame seed bun.
You know, speaking of experiences, since our last radio show, I've actually experienced my first orb that I've seen in person.
Really?
Where? Yeah, I was in an undisclosed location because this place doesn't want to know anything about the paranormal and things of that nature. Coming out of a door, and I just saw a yellowish, whitish ball of light just kind of fly right in front of me as I turned around and just dissipated into nothing. Looking around the room, I couldn't find anything. Couldn't find a bug, nothing in the room. Because at first, my first thought was, because it kind of flew near a light. Mm-hmm. And I figured it was a bug that flew in front of the light. But I couldn't find anything in the room that would have caused it. So.
Well, if you can see it with your eyes, right? That's really what an orb is. If you catch it on your camera, it's dust.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we get you into the Hulbert house there, that's where you'll actually see the green and red ones. They're actually quite plentiful downstairs. downstairs near the vortex.
I've seen the red ones on the third floor, right above that first room there.
I hate calling them orbs because it's just synonymous with camera dust. But
yeah,
that's why they know I call them fireflies. But yeah, I mean, it is an orb. It's just to differentiate. But
spiritual ball of light.
Last time we did Halbert House, good. I drove home. I had Diane with me in the back seat, and I had my stepdaughter with me. My thermostat reading on my Jeep said -47. So I was like, I'm going to roll down the window and feel like -47 feels like. Then I got thinking, what if the window doesn't go back up? Then I have to drive. So I slowed down, and they're like, what are you doing? Why are you stopping? Because it's up in Ava, way up there, you know, in like the field. And I got to get out and see what this felt like. Oh, crap, that was cold.
Was it really -47?
It was, yeah. According to my Jeep, it was -47.
Gosh.
I was like, holy crap. Then as I went down the hill, got into Rome, down 26, it got from like -20, -18, -10. So it really, -10, minus like 2 when I got into downtown. So what a difference, 30-something degrees, or 40-something degrees between Ava and...
That's incredible.
Boonville was -25 when we left, because Pete's van was on E.
I was going to say, I actually believe in Jesus just because of that night alone. I don't know how the hell I got back to Rome with no gas, but... it happened.
Oh my gosh.
You have maybe 12 miles when the light comes on.
You got it went on the light?
It went on in Boonville. And the Stewart's was closed. The Nice and Easy was closed. The only gas station that was near there was the one at Lee Center. And that was at least 15-20 miles
away.
Was I
with you that night?
Yes. Yes.
It was, yes.
You were so lucky to run out of gas, dude. That would have been bad.
I would speed up over the hills. I would, like, throw the thing in neutral, coast down it to, like, conserve. At one point, I had the heat off. I'm like, we just need to conserve. I don't know how the hell we're going to make it. I don't know. We did, like, 20 miles on that literal quarter tank of gas. But
you coasted on fumes under the gas station.
Then we get to the bottom of the hill. At least Center Stewart's is closed. And it's like, no!
That's right, too, yes.
But thank God they have the second one, the mobile, just up the street, not even a half more mile. I'm like, all right, at this point, if it dies right here, we can push it. We're close enough to a...
Yeah, seriously. Oh, my gosh. You're so lucky.
But that's all I kept thinking of, because I'm like, you always read about people freezing to the highway. How does that happen? I'm like, we're going to find out tonight. It's -60.
They said it was going to be cold, so I went and filled up my tank before I left to go to Boonville. I mean, I made sure it was full. Because I'm like, yeah, I don't want to go anything less than a half in this trip.
Yeah.
The hell owns a gas station and closes on a Saturday night?
That's a very good question. Usually they're open.
And we're talking... yeah, there's like nothing. I mean, it's like Boonville doesn't really have much. And then in between Boonville and Upper Rome, there's nothing. Literally nothing. I don't even think there would have been a house I could have went and knocked on.
If you went down 12 or 28... you would have went through like Remsen and Barneville. There's usually gas stations there, but I remember coming back a few times when we did like Woodgate and came down through there. Those gas stations were closed also. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
I mean, the lights are all turned off. It's like, is anyone just like leaving on the pumps on? People should have been going in the store to buy something. I just want gas.
You would think so, but
The gas station across the street from my place turns lights on, the pumps are on 24/7. People go over there, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning to get gas.
As long as you have, what, a credit card?
Yeah.
Credit card.
Nice. Most people buy gas with anyways these days,
So. See, that's good. I think that's the way they should do it. You know, just leave it on for credit card only.
There you go.
Well, there's the ones in downtown Utica that are between 30 feet of glass and between you and the person running the shop after 11 o'clock at night.
Don't blame them.
We only take $10 bills. Well, I need more than 10 in gas. That's all we take. It's enough to get you somewhere else but here. Okay.
I lived in Brooklyn for 2 years, and that's what it was like down there. I mean, you can walk up to a store, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. They'll still be open, but you're not coming in the door. There's like this little teller, like, I don't know, it's like a drawer that comes out. And they're like, they ask you through the window, what do you want? And he goes, I just want an Arizona iced tea. They throw the can in, you throw the money in, they push the thing out, and that's it.
Yeah. And they live longer that way.
First experience that in Philadelphia. It's like, well, I'd like an Entenmann's pie, bag of chips. Yeah. What kind of beer do you have?
That's scary.
Just like you can't get the gun in and under. You could get a six-pack through there, but nobody's going to get their hand in a gun up out under there. Or a hand grenade, not that I'm giving anybody ideas.
Oh, Pete.
Crossing that threshold.
So just before we run out of time, I mean, we got 10 minutes, but next weekend, February 6th, Rome Historical Society will be hosting a presentation. This is a fundraiser for them. It's $40 a ticket. We still have some left. We've never been there, so you'll be investigating along with us. We'll show you a couple, two, three pieces of evidence, or not even evidence, but findings from some local cases.
Peyton Manning.
It looks like
one. That
now, Rich, we confirmed for the next show, or?
Yes, we will be doing our next radio show February 9th, and we will be broadcasting from the shops at the Finish Line.
All right.
Downtown Utica. And we're going to have our Paranormal Coffee Talk series, and Kevin will be joining us, right? And how that works is essentially we're going to go in earlier, like 5:30-ish, 6, whatever, and start our little paranormal coffee talk segment. And, you know, answer questions. The audience will be there. They're serving food, beer, wine, food. So we always like going to those places. Maybe have a tip a few while we're doing our radio show.
Absolutely.
And then essentially go right into our radio show with a live audience. So, and then have actually live questions from the audience.
Actually, it'll be our first live radio show with people. Actually, yeah, it'll be great.
I'm excited about it, man. Really.
So other than our three listeners out there that we love, we'll have three more new listeners. No, I'm being sarcastic.
We need to film that. And also, if anyone's interested, we are going to be putting together our paranormal classes. The only way RIP could do them. An actual paranormal class where you can actually learn something about investigating. And then meet some of the members and learn from some of us. And then we'll actually, as part of the class, take in an actual investigation and see how you do. So moving forward with that, information will be released soon as I can get together the rest of the members and put together actually we have the syllabus already drawn, but just put the finishing touches on it. So stay tuned for that. And we've got other things. We're working on a potential event in Utica for April, May-ish. I'll let you know about that. So, yeah.
So hold on to your socks, BBS Radio. Next show, it's going to be live.
Live at 5.
And we'll be tipping back some beer and wine, too. At least I will be. And we'll see where that goes.
I might get that sandwich there. I forgot what it was last time. It was Zaffis. Really good. The was Zaffis? It the Zaffis?
That was good.
Need a couple glasses of wine, I should be able to invent some new ones too.
I have a couple glasses of wine, I'll be dead. Then you can investigate me.
I'm looking forward to the wine. It'll be good.
So we're looking excited about it, you know?
The Rome Paranormal Con will be there, that's all you need to know.
We get out to play. I mean it should be myself, co-host Peter Leonard, Steve Roscoe, Nicole Beretta. Like the gun Beretta. And Kevin Jordan. I said that right, didn't I?
Yep, you said it right.
So, yeah, and maybe we'll get some accompanying from Larry O'Grady. He's always fun to have on the show. But with his schedule, sometimes it's tough for him to do the show. Maybe even Mike will show up. Big Mike.
Wow. Oh, and we forgot Salem Con the first weekend in April.
Oh,
we'll
yes.
be there.
Yep.
It's not ours, but we'll be there. And John Zaffis, so.
Yep.
Well, and
I'm
Jason
excited.
Hawes and his daughter and a couple other guests.
This is my first trip to Salem. I've never been there, so I'm wicked excited about going.
I'm excited to go back to the Fireman's Cafe and have him bust my chops again. But great breakfast by real firemen.
Nice.
Never ask them where the ferry to Boston is. Just leave it at that. It ended something like this thing. Where the hell do you think you'd find the ferry? Down at the water. What are you, stupid? Okay, there's water everywhere. Where on the water do I find your ferry? But anyway.
Yeah, I missed out. When's it going to be this year? April
9th and 10th,
yep,
right?
And I'll miss out again as I will be in Madison, Wisconsin for 3 days.
That's okay.
You like traveling, don't you?
Steve will fill in for
you. Pays the bills. pays the overhead of this wonderful office space, and pays my mortgage and buys my wife pretty things.
You and Ivy should think about it.
And that makes her happy.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
That's debatable.
My wife won't be joining us, so look out, Salem. I'm going to stay up to 11:30.
It's going to be freaking crazy. He doesn't lose 11:30.
Watch out. Pete's coming to town at 11:30.
If you got a Denny's, I'll be there.
And, of course, our mascot will be there, too.
Who's our mascot?
Potty Pete.
Oh, Potty Pete.
Oh, we got our, yeah. Got Potty Pete.
Let's hope.
We got a Spooky.
Do we need a disclaimer this time, though? We won't bring John Zaffis out for dinner.
Yeah, that didn't go over so well last time, so.
I do apologize about that, John.
Almost killed him, but that's okay.
Well, we went to breakfast with him last time he was here. Is that right?
2 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh,
he changed
we're down to 1 minute.
He eats sort of healthy at Denny's.
He did. He did eat healthy at Denny's.
Dry wheat toast, black coffee, and egg beaters.
And crystal meth, no.
So, doesn't get any healthier than that. That's healthy for Denny's.
Yeah, that is healthy for Denny's.
Dry wheat toast.
No so butter.
Camping.
We're done.
Yeah.
If you want to take us out.
We're done.
Okay.
That's it, folks. That's it. The end of our show. We'll see you in 2 weeks from the shops at the finish line in Utica. And for Paranormal Investigator Radio, my name is Steve.
This is Nicole.
This is Kevin.
This is Rich.
And I'm Peter.
We'll see you live in 2 weeks. You guys have a good night.
Bye.
Joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.